Jared.
What's up, dude? All right. So for any of you just joining, this is my buddy, Jared Barnes. He is an awesome producer. And you landed a placement with us. Is this your first time landing with us, or have you landed before?
Yeah, it's my first time. And I guess it's beginner's luck, maybe. It was my first few joints that I sent in, so that works out.
Oh, dude. Fuck yeah, man. Well, big congrats to you, man. So... we'll listen to that track later on. Again, congrats. It's awesome. But you know, you said beginner's luck, but I mean, the track's killing. All the stuff you're sending in is dope. So where, dude, let's take it back. Where are you from? And let's like just talk about, you know, your, you know, the come up career. I know it, like before we started, you were like, yo, the come up is still happening.
still in process.
But where are you from?
I'm from Jersey Central, like Piscataway, Edison, born in, yeah, I started playing keys at a real young age, at 10, 11.
Okay.
Picked up trumpet. So I've always been musical. My family's pretty musical too. My daddy's, my mom and aunt sing. So it's always been in the blood.
That's dope. Same here.
Yeah. I took it to the next step. I went to Berkeley.
Wait.
Yeah.
We both went to Berkeley.
Yeah, I was going
to
bring
it up. Wait a second. I was just talking to Chong, one of our other members, and she went to Berkeley, and it turns out we were there the same year. What year were you there?
Yeah, I was there from 2009 to 2013.
There was like a year because I was there 2012 to 13.
Oh yeah, I definitely remember Chong.
Dude, it's very pot. Holy shit!
I might have seen you around. It was crazy. Small
dude, where were you living? I was in the 150 building.
Me too.
What? Wait, what floor? Yeah.
Actually, in 2012, that's when I moved out. So I wasn't in the,
okay.
So from 2009 to 2010, I was in 150 from like, yeah, for like,
okay. What floors? Which, when asking that, I'm trying to ask how many rats did you see on it on daily?
Luckily, I didn't see that many. I was on the sixth floor.
Okay. Yeah. They didn't make their way up there. Little fuckers were always on the third floor with me. It was terrible. I dropped out after a year, but there was this one time in the cafeteria, any of you know, listening, but, there was this dude, I swear there was a rat. It had to be, this thing was like 2 feet long, bro. It was ridiculous. Might as well have been a possum. And exactly. But I was, you know, I was just hanging out with my buddies. We were eating lunch. And then all of a sudden from the other side of that cafeteria, we just hear this girl scream at the top of her lungs.
Oh, no.
Like, and it was, I mean, she was a vocalist. So she could project, dude.
Hell yeah.
And it was like, it was a scream. But then everybody, it was like this dead silence. We saw this massive rat just jump like boom, boom, boom. From the back of the calf into the kitchen. And then my friends and I just looked at each other and we're like, all right, we're done with lunch. They just left. We're like, I'm done.
I think that's my cue.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think we can top today.
I don't know. Got to give it to the Boston.
There's so many things about Boston that it's like shit just runs different there.
Yeah.
Everything is more hardcore than it should be.
Definitely a different kind of city, but
God,
came into myself and developed my sound, so I got, you know, city.
So so you were there all 4 years. How was that? Because I dropped out after a year.
Good for you, man. Because I'm still paying for this shit. Yeah,
I talked to Chong. I was like, yeah, I left after a year, and she was like, good for you, man.
We all got the same vibe.
Yeah, I got like a kind of like a partial scholarship. It was next to nothing. I was telling Chong, I was like, I would have rather them not give anything than that. Just like, it was like a slap in the face. I was like, you're going to call this a scholarship? Like, really? Really?
Yeah. I had something similar. It was on the higher end, but it wasn't
good for you.
It wasn't fucking presidential. So
no. Yeah. Cause we saw the, I don't know if you saw this, but like there were, so at Berkeley, anybody listening, you could get a presidential scholarship.
Yeah.
And in other, you know, colleges, it's called a full ride because it's cool. Like, it's a big deal, but you don't walk around like as a celebrity, basically. But like every kid who had a presidential scholarship, you knew, because it was like, it was this respect thing. Like, they were basically a god walking among you, but it was also like severe envy. Because I don't know about you, but every presidential scholar that I saw, they played like, you know, I say this as respectfully as I can. They played an instrument that they would never gig with. You were just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You got, I mean, you got a full ride off of an accordion? Come on, dude. Come on.
Yes. They're definitely breaking societal norms,
so. Dude. Well, it looks like you both and I and Chong from earlier, we all just like made it work. But so, yeah. What'd you get out of the 4 years? How you said you really found your sound there?
So at first it was a struggle a little bit because I went there with the intention of being a production major.
Okay, MPN.
What they didn't tell you when you get there, you have to apply. You have to audition to be a production major. So. Not only did I have to audition to get into the school, I had to now audition to do the major that I wanted.
Dude, and yeah.
Spoiler alert, I didn't make it. I wasn't a... I didn't make it. I tried twice. I tried
for... I played hardball my first semester and got in, but nice. I was a dick about it. So what I did... I'm sorry, I'm just breaking into it, but we had like the same exact journey.
Yeah.
So the dean of the music production and engineering department, I forgot his name, but it turned out that one of the studios that I had worked at, like interned at, like I session drummed and like assisted on some records. It's called Echo Mountain here in Asheville, North Carolina. And nice. I saw that the board, forgot what board it was. I think it was just it was some sort of Neve. But they bought that board from Sunset Sound out in LA. That's where he worked. Wow. And I literally brought a CD and I was like, hey man, I'm here for MP&E. If I can't get in this program, I'm dropping out. Like, it's just not worth it for me. I'm here within my, it was like the first week when everybody was like meeting each other, you know, everybody was like learning how to do drugs and shit. And I'm like negotiating with the dean.
Yeah. That's the right mentality.
I was awesome that shit, man. Yeah, dude, it was just so expensive. I was like, if I can't get in this school, like in, cause I didn't like, I was like, yeah, I didn't know I had to like audition again. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So I gave the CD. I was like, here's records I've worked on. Here's a picture of me with the board that you worked on. If I can't be an MPN, I'm leaving now. Like I still have like the next 10 days or whatever it is to get out. And like, there's no problem, you know? So, but it's a hustle there, dude. Like it's hard.
And once you get in, there was at the time there was only 12 studios. So you had to like compete with everybody in the to get studio time.
Dude, I never even worked in one of the studios there because they were always packed. I like recorded my friends in like the stairwell in 150 because there was good acoustics.
Yeah. You had to make do, man. You really did have to make. I didn't get into production, but I continued into songwriting instead.
Cool.
And because of my connects, I always found myself in the studios and like cause I made friends with a lot of producers.
That's the thing. It's like once you meet your crew there and just meet the people doing it, you can usually – it's not like you can get the degree you want because the degree doesn't matter anyways, but it's, you can usually figure out your way to get into the classes or whatever that you want. Cause they claim to be a real college, but it's not, it's like, it's the industry. It's a conservatory that is in the industry, you know?
And so. I definitely don't, like, I don't want to bad exactly if I'm coming off that way, but like,
I'll shit talk Berkeley for you. All good, bro. No, I love Berkeley, but you know.
And it was just like I met a lot of like lifelong friends.
Same.
Just, you know, it was like a dojo. You know, steel sharpens steel, and I wouldn't be as nasty as I am on the beats if I wasn't.
Yeah.
You know,
You know, it's one of those things where you know I felt like everybody who was at Berkeley was the music kid in their high school. You know, they all thought they were special, and then they showed up here. Like for me. Because I was the drummer in my high school. I was the drummer, you know? And I did, like, some production stuff. But everybody, like, primarily knew me as the drum guy. And I showed up at Berkeley, and I saw the other drummers. And I was like, oh, they really want to be drummers. Like, I was like, I want to tour. But I was like, this is all they want to do.
It's a sobering wake-up call. Like, my first there I thought I was the shit. I mean, I was back where I'm from.
right.
My own horn, but you know, I was that guy. Got there and I gotta hit the shed. Like, ASAP.
Right. And so it like put things in a perspective of like, yo, I gotta get in the practice room like 12 hours a day. Like when everybody else is out partying, which they didn't really do because everybody was just like crying in practice rooms.
You can't cram for those those finals. You really can't cram you know, Bach and like Chick Corea. You can't.
Yeah, you can't write notes on your leg and put your leg up and cheat by putting your pant leg up. I'm saying from experience in high school, but. But yeah, no, it was definitely like, it was really cool because you realized really quick if you were really going to go for it or this was not the path that was for you. And I saw some people in the first semester just have like total panic attacks and drop out. And like they're, you know, they're successful, they're doing other things in life. But it was like I love Berkeley for the fact that it really put you in a pressure cooker of either you're going to really kick ass at this or just don't bother. Yeah. You know?
It's knowing it really isn't because that's how it is. And just in general life, like you really want to go after something, you got to like give it your all.
Yeah. Cause it put you in a standard. You know, it's like if you're, you know, and when you and I were there, it was different because online communities, meeting people online, it's not what it is now. Mm-hmm. You know, we had Skype, but like, I don't know, every other Skype call I had massive issues and people would just, it would be like, that's what a Skype call was. A lot of times I would just call people on the phone and then we would look at each other on webcam. And when the webcam decided to load, we would see each other, but we would just talk on the phone.
Good times.
Yeah. But Berkeley was definitely, I think overall, pros absolutely outweighed the cons. But So you ended up, you graduated from Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Came back home because there wasn't really many opportunities for what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. In Boston, at least. So back home with a game plan. And I just started to build my catalog and like find my sound because I always wanted to be a producer, but I didn't know exactly what kind of producer I wanted to be. So then I took the time at Berkeley, just getting the techniques and stuff down. And then finally I can get the ideas that I have in my head out into the real world.
Right.
Do that now. So now it was just a matter of building a catalog, you know, hitting the streets running. And I managed to get in with some people in New York and whatnot. I managed to get some placements for like Fetty Wap.
Hell yeah.
IBN Almighty J. And I ended up getting the gold plaque for that mix.
Dude, congrats, man. That's awesome. Mazel tov.
Appreciate it. It's been a grind of years.
Yep. And
just unrewarded. Just like constant, just nonstop work. And you got to push past that like initial, like, damn, I'm not really getting any money for this.
Yeah. And I don't know if you experienced the same thing for the, you know, bigger records that I, you know, gratefully been a part of. Like a lot of things started to happen just as I thought things were crashing. I was like, you know, this corner of my career is getting like really tough. And like, I, you know, was doing well in publishing, doing well in some other things at the time. But like, I was getting to a point where I just like felt like I was in a stalemate. And then it's not like I, you know, you're probably like me where it's like, there isn't a plan B. You know, I don't really have the option. I'm in a corner. This is the only thing I can do.
Really good what I do. So it would be kind of a waste if I.
Yeah. I don't even know what else I could do. Like I have no work experience. I've only been self-employed. Honestly, any company would be doing themselves a disservice by hiring me. I would make terrible decisions. You don't want me there. I wouldn't even show up. It would be awful. but you know, when things were getting really tough and I was just exhausted at like kind of my wit's end, it just so happened that I like powered through and it's like, yo, like, hey, do you want to be on this? Like, hey, this is happening. Do you want to be on this record? Hey, this is happening. Do you want to be? I'm like, what? And then it just started snowballing from there. I did that like sort of stuff happen to you? I feel like that's pretty. Yeah, it's like kind of standard. It's like just when you're at your very end and you're just like, I don't even know what the fuck else is getting. Things come through.
At the last minute, like Hail Mary. It's like, all right,
cool. Yeah.
I'm going to just get a full-time job and hold it down for a little bit. And then, you know, the ether, the universe had other plans. And then here's the opportunity. You can go work in LA for free for 3 months. And
yeah. You gotta, people don't want to, like, they think that it's only them going through it. Like, all of their heroes are people who have, like, massive credits, whether it's, like, with artists or in sync for brands, you know, it's all the same hustle. Like, mm-hmm. I recently worked on a record with Future, or for Future and Lil Baby, awesome. And Russian. It was like a, it was a collab, all three of them. But at the same time, you know, I was really, you know, going full on in sync, and I really wanted to get a music supervision gig. And I was like really kind of getting to a point of like, damn, like this is getting really tough. Like I, maybe I'm just like not in these circles. Maybe it's not going to work. And then you find your crew, and that's, I got my first supervision gig technically for a Burberry commercial. And that was like, holy shit. But it took so long. And it was like years of like, Yeah. And it's not that you question yourself, but there's so much in life where you think it's like going against you, and people don't talk about that. Or if they're going through it, they think it's only for them.
And also there's, it really is important about who's on too, because people that don't do music, they don't really understand the type of mental fortitude that this takes. Like you have to, you're going to hear no so many times that the average person is just going to be like, all right, it's not for me. You have to keep going. Otherwise.
Well, I mean, it's funny because like, for years, I think now it's more hip to like talk about business and music. I think, you know, the current generation, you know, Gen Z and like some millennials, you know, have a different idea of business within music than, let's say, Gen X or boomers had. Whereas back in the day, it was like, you know, art is for the artists and the business is for the business people. And at, you know, in their life, that made sense because if you wanted to get a job, you went to college, it all worked out, you got a job, that was it. Millennials, millennials, it was interesting. Once, when we got to college, we realized, oh shit, maybe this, like we saw the writing on the wall. We saw like student loans pile up. We saw a lot of people move back in with their parents, and we were just like, I don't know. Like maybe like I got to figure out some stuff for myself. Maybe college isn't the end point for me to move forward, you know, and I have to do more. And Gen Z kind of just went into the market knowing that they were screwed. So like, so now it's like, right. And, you know, I think now people look at music business and they're like, instead of when you get a track on an Adidas ad, you know, back in the day, it's like, wow, you sold out. Now it's like, holy shit, dude, congrats. That's so cool. You made it, you know? It's a different mentality because like,
huge shift in the power.
If you are in music, like you are your own business, and a lot of people don't want to admit it. So like, I love talking to entrepreneurs, even in not in music, like you learn so much, you know?
Yeah. It's very synonymous.
And it makes you not feel as alone. Like if I talk to like an owner of a coffee shop, I'm going to connect more with them than somebody who only writes songs and they don't do anything else a lot of times. Cause like, just like a hobbyist songwriter versus somebody who's building something from nothing, you know, cause that's the difference between a music career and just making music.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to invent like your own path. That's really what it is. There's no set, like everybody's course is different, and you just carve your own out of, you know, the ether and whatnot.
So you said that you were getting to a point where you're like, yo, I got to maybe figure something out. And then all of a sudden, you know,
and then things will happen, and then it'll like reinforce your beliefs, like, oh, maybe I can do this, you know? And every now and then that'll happen, because I noticed that this music thing sort of like moves in waves. Like you have really good moments where you're like, yo, I feel on top of the world, I'm getting flued out. You know, working on projects here and there, and then something like the P word happens, and then we're stuck for like a year and some change. And then you kind of have to figure it out and by ear.
Yeah, it's hard because like when you're going through it, it's often hard to know that this is part of the process. So because the part of that process is being in the moment where you don't know if it's going to work or not. You know, like this past year, I think, you know, we talked about it in the group. We're building a new platform for That Pitch. If you're listening to this in the future, I am recording this on what's the day? We're in September of 2022. But the past year and a half, almost 2 years, we've been building a new tech platform and like for That Pitch to help licensing be even easier for everyone.
I really appreciate what y'all got going on.
Well, you don't even know half of it, bro. When the new thing launches, you're going to freak out, but But like but what I'm saying is like I'm a producer first. Like I don't consider myself a tech person. Like everybody has tried calling that pitch like a startup or so like startup community bros will be like, oh, how much fun have you got? I'm like, I run a small business and I help my friends make money from their music and that's the end of it. I don't care to do more than that. I just want to help everybody, you know, make music on their laptop or wherever they're making it and make money from it so they can make more music. Like that's it. I don't care about, I don't want to sell the business. I've had offers for people to buy it. I don't care. Like it's not the point. And so like you see these companies that like will invest like all this money into like this crazy shit. And you know, whereas over here, I'm just like, I'm a producer. Like we're building out this new tech platform, but like I don't have 10 million in the bank to build out tech shit. So it's like, okay, how can we build this for everybody? You know? And like, there's been times the past year where I'm like, yo, this is like, I've had those thoughts, like those moments of like, fuck, like this is, these are, you know, these are challenges that I've never faced yet, you know? And I think as long as you're the type of person that wants to grow both personally and professionally, you're going to have those moments, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's growing pains.
It's, yeah. And it's, I think people like us, we never, there's pros and cons to this, but we don't have those moments where we're just like, yep, I have enough. Everything is good. It's like, no, I want to do more. This is like, it's, I think it's like fun and exciting, but it can quickly become stressful.
Yeah.
So, but that's awesome. So you got that Fetty Wap, placement, a couple others, which is dope. So you are making a bunch of music for yourself and playing shows a lot now. What's kind of going on with that? And how's the scene in Jersey? And, you know, I think you're in the Brooklyn scene as well.
I'm getting out there, but like really the past few years of my career spent mainly just chasing placements and chasing rappers and R&B artists and pop singers and stuff. So that gets stressful, you know, because if you're not in the right circles, you kind of get like blocked and stuff like that and gatekeep. So I kind of put my solo music on kind of a back burner for a while. But that's been changing. I took a nice chunk of time off to just recalibrate and refocus and just plan my next steps. And now like definitely getting back to the solo catalog and putting music, doing shows. Next week, Wonderville, if you're in town, if you're in Brooklyn, pull up. It's going to be a vibe, but
Where are you playing again? It cut out. Where are you playing?
Wonderville in Brooklyn.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I don't have the exact address cause I'm trash. I'm a noob.
No, it's going to be dope, dude. Yeah,
get adjusted to promo and all that.
You'll get it, man. And it's like anything. It's like over time, you just get better and better and better. You learn your lessons, and then you kind of build your systems and like processes of like, all right, I'm going to do this because it works. It's worked in the past. I'm not going to do this because that didn't work in the past, you know? So, but I think that's just, you know, how music and, you know, making money from your music and learning more about the business of music is just, you know, you learn your lessons over time and then you have your bag of tricks and you're like, all right, this works for this direction. I'm going to keep doing that. And you just grow, you know? Yep. And most of it's not sexy. It's just like, I'm going to keep hitting it. Let's keep going. Well, that's awesome, dude. We have a bunch of members in New York. I lived in Crown Heights and then moved to Upper West Side for a while. So very familiar with the land of the big fruit, New York. Anyways, what I want to do, I want to listen to the track that you just landed with us. Again, you're killing it. So big mazel tov, bro. I'm proud of you. So let's listen to this. We'll talk about the track a little bit. And then we'll give more info on that show. All right.
Dope.
All right. Sweet. So this is, called, wait, let me pull up the name. Because I do not have this open because I am unprepared and a terrible person. Wait a second. I'm making good time here, dude. Wait. Oh my God. My folder is just not. Okay. It's called Zen. You could have just told me that.
You had to let you know that you got it under control.
Dude, I can do like all this stuff. Like on here, there's like a media player. Check this out. Watch. Bro, it's crazy. All right, we're gonna get ready. I'm gonna do a drum roll for this. All right, so now we're gonna play Zen. All right, this is Zen. Here we go. You put me in a trance. You're trying to hypnotize me.
That's vibes. That's vibes.
Dude, that was fantastic. What?
Appreciate it.
What was your process on that? How was creating that? Like, how long did it take? Did you have it lying around, or did you just make it for the hell of it?
It took 3 years to make that, actually.
Really?
Yeah, but like, all jokes aside, that was an old joint I did like back in 2018, 2019, something around that time. And I liked the textures, and I was just in a space where I was making a bunch of lo-fi and vibey stuff, and, you know, stuff that you would, you know, just, you know, study homework to and stuff. And
production analysis, bro.
So, yeah, I was in that space, and I went back into the hard drive, and I was like, oh, I never did anything with this.
Yeah.
So I just took it, remixed it, revamped it. I switched the drums up completely. And yeah, from there, it was 3 years in 3 hours.
So that's awesome, man, because like I, you know, just being a producer, it's like if you open up my hard drive, I mean, firstly, you'd be disgusted how unorganized it is. But after you get past that and be like, how does Mark function? There's like thousands of tracks that like I just haven't utilized anywhere. So I'm just like, I'm cooking up stuff and I'm like, what do I do with it? Oh, I'm just going to save it. So that's awesome, because it's like you just had this sitting there and you didn't do anything with it. And you're like, all right, I'm just going to, this will work for this. I'll just finish it up and upload it. And bam, now it's going to make you money. So like,
not a place. Like, look at
right. That. Well, that's the thing. It's like every, I think you would agree with this, is that most of our friends who are completely broke through music make a lot of music, but they don't do anything. Yeah. The point is you have to put it somewhere. It's like it's building.
It's got to be in somebody's inbox or somebody's like.
Yeah.
Phone or something. You got to. Well, turn it around otherwise.
It's like, imagine building a bunch of condos and never renting them out. It's like, well, you could say you're in real estate, but you don't have the same money that other people got, right? So what's going on? Basically. It's no different. It's like, make a lot of music, but unless you're putting it in places, don't complain that it's not making any money. So it's just a matter of getting your tracks into different places. So that's awesome that you already have this lying around and you're like, all right, I'm just going to polish it up and let's see what we can do with it. So that's dope, man. I'm really excited about that. So you said you were kind of in a phase of just making a lot of lo-fi a few years back.
Well, back then, I don't even know what I was on, man, to be honest. I was just making all kinds of weird shit. And I just so happened to randomly find that because I keep a log of all the beats that I made throughout the years on my iTunes. I went back years. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay.
This will work.
So, yeah. And then, I mean, I was doing all kinds of stuff. Like, I was on a lo-fi tip recently, a few weeks ago. I'm like,
yeah. Well, I mean, I think some of the, it's funny because a lot of people look at artists and just say, well, they're like the star of the show. But if you think about it, like nowadays, I mean, there's a lot of producers that are artist projects, but all they do is produce, you know? Some of my favorite like lo-fi producers, Eric Lau, Freddie Joachim, if you're familiar with them. Question, also an awesome, Com Trues. There's like a lot of K Tronada, we all are aware. But there's like, I think this is like kind of a general movement over the past couple of years. It's like, we're going to look back on this time and be like, this was the era of the producers, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And this is different. It's a different headspace than what I'm normally accustomed to, because I do, my solo stuff is more, aggressive and it's very bass heavy. Like my stuff can be a mixture of like soulful R&B stuff, but like it has a grit to it. So then the lo-fi space was definitely something to get used to.
Yeah.
I had to like remind myself, like, don't go too crazy on this bass right now.
Well, what's funny too that people don't realize is like, if you're an artist and you're just promoting a single artist brand, you have to stay with that brand, you know? Lady Gaga, you know, if she comes out with a metal record, people are gonna be like, the fuck? Like, what is she on drugs? Like, what is going on? You know? But if you're a producer, you can have a bunch of different like artist monikers or like brands for different sounds. So like your lo-fi sound can be called, you know, this brand name, your R&B sound can be called this name. So it's almost like you're building a label of different artists, but it's all yourself, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
It's like doing business as here's the brand name.
You're going to have a plethora of different styles and sounds.
Yeah.
Because it's just alone, just going after pitches. You're going to have many different genres to deal with. What do you do with the songs that don't make it?
Yep.
You can eventually release them. If another monarchy said.
Yeah. And as long as you enjoy making it, it's like, why not? You know?
Yeah.
So there's always a place that you can stick your music where it's going to make you some money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I always say this, but it's like every song is like a little piece of real estate, you know?
Yeah.
So you can sell it, you can rent it out, you can flip it, whatever you want to do, but just put it in a place where it makes you some money. Because I think if everybody, and I genuinely mean this, if everybody put their music in places that made them money, we'd have a lot more music out there. And that's a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, dude, I genuinely enjoyed chatting with you. This is great. What advice would you give to anybody pursuing music?
Stick to it and just try to ignore the haters.
Number two is the big one. They will be there.
Yeah. If you're doing your job right, you're going to have.
I got a bunch of people who shit talk and I'm just like, all right, well.
Yeah.
Happens.
keep pushing and keep going, because like when you stop, that's when you start to get stagnant, and you don't want that, because you know the music industry moves. Music is constantly in flux, so you got to keep going.
Love that. And where can people find you online?
You can find me at ARKTKT Music at, you know, whatever, that's my handle. So I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, Spotify, Architect Music, ARKTKT Music, and I just put out an EP. Well, not just, but a few years ago. New one is coming soon, but yeah, check that out. It's called anima.exe.
Awesome. Jared, thank you so much for being on the That Pitch Podcast today. That Pitch Podcast is brought to you by Architect Music. Definitely check out all that music because he's sponsoring the show. Little does he know. anyways, thanks so much, bro. I really appreciate it.
Likewise. Good chatting with you, even when you finally. So.
Hell yeah. All right.